I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. My pal, wearing a seafoam-colored hoodie today, is Dan Menigan. That's not Packer
Green. Dan, do you want to tell him that we're on the radio?
Not Packer Green.
I've always wanted to own a guitar that was this color, and I can't afford a guitar that was this color because I work in radio, so I bought a cheap sweatshirt.
You guys do realize we're on the radio and no one can see
you. You know, the great thing,
now,
do you remember that there was a TV commercial where a detective is interrogating a suspect?
Yeah.
And he gets like it right in his face, and he grabs his shirt, and he said, "Is that seafoam?" I always love that commercial.
Yeah, I always want to own a seafoam green Fender Stratocaster, and I can't afford one, so bought the sweatshirt.
It's a really nice seafoam sweatshirt. Very nice.
Oh boy! Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Tyvis Powell. He wears seafoam.
Are clogs coming back in style?
And then at 1:30.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, those Crocs are essentially clogs.
1:30, Kevin Stefanski's press conference.
Yeah. Rubber.
1:30, Kevin Stefanski, the non-play caller of the Cleveland Browns, which seemed to make no difference.
Wow, that was really harsh and very too soon.
The non-play caller?
I'm just kidding. Keep going.
Hey, man, the guy's the head coach. That's what his job is.
Be in charge of all three phases of the game, as he said yesterday.
He made the right move, apparently for yesterday anyway.
True.
We'll see how it progresses. You know, The one thing, you know, we've been able to here's the thing. When Deshaun was quarterback before his injury.
Quarterback.
But it's a shame that he's not the quarterback because the man got hurt and he's out for the season again. And that's rough. And I mean that with all sincerity. Mm-hmm. But we had all kinds of things that you could say. Okay, well, the offensive line is in disarray. You don't have Nick Chubb. You know, numerous other things you could say. Yesterday, the offensive line was still in disarray. You had Wyatt Teller back.
Was it? They didn't look like they were in disarray yesterday.
Exactly. You had DeJuan Jones playing left tackle for the first time in, like, forever. Something that he's not done very much in his career. Didn't seem to be an issue, except maybe that sack right before halftime.
Yeah.
That led to a touchdown.
Yeah.
But he seemed to look just fine over there at left tackle, which is ultimately where I think he should play in the NFL. At his size, if he has the agility with his feet to keep doing that, I think you've got your left tackle for the next decade, maybe more. And the rest of it, you'll figure out. You know, and Jed Wills will figure that out. But I just think the way that the offense performed yesterday was the fact that it was so similar to the way that the offense performed when Joe Flacco took over last year, when Joe came in, just makes me, it screams, okay, you got to figure this out next year, because if Deshaun is your quarterback next year, you've got a problem.
Isn't there a part of you that says you want to figure it out this year? I mean, it's not completely dead in the water. I'm just saying.
No, I mean about Deshaun.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with 100%. Yep.
I can't tell you that Jameis should be the starting quarterback of this team next year. We've seen him for one game, and it was against the worst pass defense in the NFL, though it was the Baltimore Ravens.
How many games will it take for him to convince you?
About three. It doesn't take much for me, because, you know, I thought very highly of Jameis's work before he got here. I can live with the interceptions if I have to, but the man can throw the ball downfield, and I always admired that about him.
Would you have felt this way if the play before the touchdown would have been an interception?
Yes, I still would have, because the offense looked significantly better yesterday than it's looked all season long. Significantly better. And that was a horrendous pass. I mean, Kyle Hamilton intercepts that every day of the week. Somehow he didn't. And good. But, yeah, even with that interception, if it had been, Jameis moved the ball, moved the team, threw it downfield, made players relevant. Elijah Moore was relevant yesterday.
100%.
Cedric Tillman was relevant. Jerry Jeudy, relevant. David Njoku, relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun didn't do that. Josh is in a car. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
What's up, boys?
What's going on?
Hey. Just want to make a couple points and let you guys talk about it. Last week on your show, and Jeff had a guest, I forget who he was, but he was, I don't think it was Scott Petrick, but basically he was saying that Deshaun was making mistakes at the line, just cost him to have flags. And we saw that change this week with the offensive line.
I think there was only one. Was there just one? It was Wyatt Teller. And as Wyatt said, it almost, I feel bad because they almost cost us the game.
Yeah, I think if Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry's smart, we know that our head coach is secure. We have our head coach. There's no concern there. With the moves they made, Andrew Berry's draft picks look better, don't they, with Cedric Tillman?
Yeah.
Well, he did. He played.
Yesterday he did. Yeah.
I thought Cedric was terrific. The last two games, actually, Josh.
So I just really think we have our answers. I just hope that Jimmy stays his hand with at least Kevin, and we can just find a quarterback that fits Kevin's system, because that's the problem, right? Kevin's stubborn. He's going to run his offense no matter what. He's bullheaded. So just give him a quarterback that's a young Joe Flacco or young Jameis Winston. That's all we need. If Jameis is the guy for 2 years to train that guy, so be it. Let's just stick with what we know.
I can't see Kevin saying, let it burn, because I've got to I don't know. I don't think Kevin's that guy. I think Kevin's the guy that's going to try to change the offense.
That's why Ken Dorsey was hired.
Yeah. Wasn't it? I don't know. I hear you say it's stubborn. I get it. Maybe I just don't see it, though. That's the problem.
I got one more comment to make.
Sure.
And this is just from a fan. I know I'm a fan. I'm a season ticket holder. No fan in this city. And I hate to say that. It's because Watson has not made himself known. He's a ghost. Okay. We all want to give Watson a fair shake when he came over. We did not judge him. I know my group didn't. We were just trying to be neutral about it. The guy has stunk up the room. He hasn't put his case to the people of Cleveland. He doesn't make himself known. When he's not here, he's gone. He's not like a Myles Garrett or a Baker Mayfield when he was here, who was with the community and spent time with the community. We are done with him. Good luck to you, brother. We wish you well. You're not meant to be here. We don't want you here. I hope that was his last start for the Browns, because it's embarrassing for him and it's embarrassing for this franchise. Thanks.
Josh, thank you. One thing, Dan, sorry about that.
No, yeah. Just wanted to give an update. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah put out on Twitter, all is well.
Good.
Praise be to God. Essentially is a translation of what he said there, because if I try to pronounce that, that's not going to end well. So, yeah, okay. It sounds like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is doing well. Again, Kevin Stefanski will address the media later today when that happens. We will have that for you on your home of the Browns, 92 to the Fan.
Well, let me, again, we're looking down the road here. And it's tough, I think, Andy, to get overly jacked up about one win yesterday because of the fact that the team was 1-6. Okay, now they're 2-6. There's a long way to go before this season becomes anything more than, boy, that one.
Can I give you the issue with the 1-6 part of it?
Go ahead.
Four of those games were very winnable.
Oh, without question.
That's
but
the hard part.
But they weren't.
People were screaming, switch quarterbacks, switch quarterbacks.
Right, but they didn't, and now you're 2-6. But if Jameis gets a chance to play here, let me just... And here's some food for thought. If he gets a chance to play the rest of this season and gets a chance to play the most since he's played since he was in Tampa, when in his last season, yes, he threw 30 interceptions, but also had 33 touchdown passes and led the NFL in pass attempts and passing yardage with over 5,000. If he gets a chance and is some semblance of what he was yesterday, and this offense was some semblance of what it was yesterday, he's only 30 years old. He doesn't turn 31 until January, so next year he'd be 31 years old. Pittsburgh just brought in 35-year-old Russell Wilson. Tampa brought in, now it's a different guy, but what, 40-year-old Tom Brady or 42-year-old Tom Brady? Atlanta just brought in, how old's Kirk Cousins? 35? Something like that? I mean, in theory, if this coaching staff likes Jameis, they like his play, and they think they can work with him. And he's 31 next year. 31, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 seasons before he hits Russell Wilson age.
How many quarterbacks have we had around here for more than 5 years?
Just throwing that out. Matt is in New York. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys, I interned for you over a decade ago. Thanks for having me on.
Has life been okay since?
Life's been pretty great.
You must be doing okay. You're living in New York, so.
Well, I don't know if he's on the street and is it a payphone.
That's true. If we taught you anything, you probably are, so. Yeah.
First off, just, you know, rest in peace to Jim Donovan. My condolences to his family. Great that they got a win. Sad they couldn't do it while he was still around. But great to get a win in his honor. Andy, I love asking Baskin. But my question for you guys, obviously, like, Jameis injected some energy into the offense. I love the way he just – can you please explain, like, options with Deshaun? I know the last caller was saying, hey, we're done with him. I agree. I want him gone. He's not the guy. We know this. But – no one's going to take him in a trade. What are the options, like what hypotheticals that you guys know about for the Browns to deal with it?
Matt, thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed your time with us. The situation is this. He's less punitive for the Browns if they keep him on the roster. Does that basically sum it up, Dano?
You need to be able to push his contract forward by giving him these cash options at the beginning of the year. That's better for the team.
All right, yeah. So here's...
And then the other thing is, if the injury is severe, that you might be able to come out of it with... And I don't even know how that plays into the dead cap or any of those other things. What happens if he comes up with a retirement injury settlement? What does that mean as far
which,
as contract?
Which, by the way, if I'm him, I'm not settling.
Well, what if the settlement's the full contract?
Well, that's a different story.
Okay.
So I can do this in about 30 seconds or less. We're gonna give this a whirl.
Go.
So let's say nobody, you know, anything that you laid out when injury settlements and all that stuff, that doesn't happen. This is the reality of the situation. If you were to move on from him next season, it would be $119 million on the cap. So that is not an option that you want, because you would basically have to tear this roster down to the studs just to be able to pay for him. It's the same thing in 20, or that's the 25 deal. In 26, you can just cut him, and it's 72 mil on the cap, which is horrific, but it's better than 118 million. So that this is the part where you're stuck. If you cut him, you're going to have a very hard time putting together a contending team. If you pay him to stay home, you can yank the lever on that roster and still maintain a level of contention, though he would be in the locker room as a backup quarterback unless you sent him home. So in reality, you're trying to tread water until about 2026.
All right, let me ask you this question. What happens if next year they reformat the contract so that he gets cash out front, okay?
Okay, they'll yank that lever, yeah, which is okay, probably so what's going to happen.
Okay, so and they would do. And then they would cut him. What would happen at that point?
It would be the same hit on the cap.
Oh, all right.
That cap number.
Good,
right,
good, I should good say try, one. Andy.
It
trying.
Would be the same dead money hit on there. That's the best way to put it. It'd be the same level of dead money hit. The cap number is down, but you would still end up with that penalty on there for moving on. It's basically a penalty. Put it that way.
All right. Can't we just put a little box and put the front office in there for like 2 minutes and then?
You know, it would be nice, but alas. Money doesn't work like hockey.
Alas.
Though it would be a good thing.
Some levels are only going 130 now.
Alas. Yeah. It's Baskin and Phillips here on The Fan. The play caller with Ken Dorsey doing a nice job. To me, doing a very Stefanski with Joe Flacco job of calling the game. And then, of course, a change of quarterback with Jameis Winston taking over for Deshaun Watson. And things were very different. First time this year they scored in the 20s. First time they scored over 18. First time you had a Browns quarterback pass for over 200 yards this year was a very different offensive performance. The only thing that makes you think, okay, yeah, but, was that the Ravens coming into this game were dead last in the National Football League in pass defense, allowing 287 yards per game. And to me, at this point, that thought to me is, so what? It's the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns.
All I know is that when I walked out of that stadium yesterday, I kept looking at the sign and she said, Browns win. And I was like, this is so refreshing. Because, we have felt like we had gone back to the 1-31 years, and it felt like 99. And yesterday it was like a different season yesterday. It was just, everything was refreshing yesterday to watch. And even on the plays that you're like, oh, this is going to go the wrong way, or this is going to be an interception, or, oh, look what just happened. Jameis got sacked, and he fumbled the ball. Next thing you know, they score. Like, I never felt that way. I felt like right from the get-go, when they made that stop on fourth down on the first defensive drive, they set the tone for the rest of the game that they weren't going to get pushed over. At least the defense wasn't. And then you roll the dice and find, okay, this is what the offense is going to look like with Jameis Winston. And I think we were all pretty satisfied with that. Can they do it again next week? That's the next question. Can they do this? Can they do this stuff 2 weeks in a row? And if you can look at the season and not stare at 2-6 and just stare at it as one game at a time, as your head coach would like you to, it could be a much more fun season than it was just 48 hours ago.
Roman is in Canton. Hello, Roman.
Hey, Roman.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
You were good.
We had another guy called Roman call the show last week.
Yeah? I mean, it was it me? I might have called it.
No, I don't think it was you. It wasn't you. It was another gentleman named Roman.
I gotcha. I got three quick things. One, I think that, you know, Jimmy was with the team, and obviously condolences to his family and friends and people that know him. The circumstances of yesterday's game, the usual Browns lose that 99 out of 100 times. Whether it was the drop interceptions, the missed Tucker field goal, whatever it may be, Jimmy was there, you know, in spirit, not just at the stadium, but in everybody's home. You know, I listened to the first half of the game because, you know, I thought it was only right. So I think Andrew's going to do a great job. But the best thing that I saw yesterday about the offense, and I hope Baskin can appreciate this reference here, is that they did not lack conviction by any means. Jameis went out there and he knew exactly what he wanted to do with the football. He had his mind right. Everybody followed him. The offense knew, you know, and also the second thing is that it didn't feel like Kevin tried to outsmart the Ravens. You know, usually the worst pass team in the league, he's going to try and outsmart them with, you know, running the ball to Nick Chubb and, you know, trying to get Chubb going early and stuff. Dorsey said, no, I'm going to toss it and we're going to go exactly at their worst part of their team. And again, a regular Browns team loses that 99 out of 100 times. So I think we got to be realistic. It's 1-0 last week. We got to go 1-0 this week. And guys, if you take it like that, we got 5 very, very winnable games coming up. Thanks.
All right, Roman. Thank you very much.
I love it. The optimism has creeped back into Northeast Ohio. Can't keep us down for long, can you?
Well, the tough game appeared to be the Ravens game.
Yeah.
All right. You've got the Chargers this week. Chargers are trying to find themselves with Jim Harbaugh. Then you have the bye week. Then you have the Saints. They're a mess. They started 2-0, and what have they lost, 5 in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Steelers on a Thursday night.
You play the AFC North at least one time, and you get the Steelers twice.
Broncos don't look terrific, although Bo Nix was really good yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they won. Steelers again. Chiefs. Bengals. Mm-hmm. Dolphins, who are a mess right now. And Ravens. Not a whole lot of games left. Isn't it hard to believe we're this far into the season?
Hard to believe high school season's over for a lot of teams.
In the playoffs, I know. Larry's in Cleveland. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. Thank you, man. A win is a win, baby. I'm glad that, man, Jim Donovan was all on that field last night because you could see the energy, man. It was so, man, they were so, man, courageous, resilience. I've seen a lot of everybody perform, man. And this is all about, ain't matter about who's that? I'm glad that Winston stepped up and did his job. Everybody played their part. And look at the difference, man. As long as we get a win, man, we needed it. For the city, most of all, man, we need to keep that momentum going in the next game, man, and put Jim Donovan on that field tomorrow, next Sunday, this Sunday coming up, man. Stay energized, man. Stay together, man, because this is all about the Cleveland Browns. We do new cardiac kids. Come on, baby. Let's go. Let's go win.
Larry, there's the enthusiasm. The new cardiac kids at 2-6. I like it.
It's got to start sometime, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
Can we be optimistic all week about this team? Is that possible?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Jim in Concord. Can you be?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All right. Good. Thanks.
Hey, I'm in agreement. I think we should put Deshaun out the pasture. Let Jameis finish the season. But he's such an inconsistent guy.
Historically, that's the case. Are we willing to let the guy – let's see what we have now. He's 7-4 as a starter since he left Tampa Bay. I just think that's an interesting stat.
Okay. Yeah, I'm willing to look at him, but I think we'll win about 5 games maybe total. So I think we'll be in contention for a good quarterback. I'd like him to take Shedeur Sanders. I think he's the next big thing. That's my take.
Okay, Jim. Thank you very much. I'm not ready to start looking at quarterbacks yet, are you?
Not yet. Although you're going to have to at some point, but I'm not there today. They won yesterday. I don't want to talk about new quarterback.
I agree. Yeah. And for whatever it's worth, you know, we're really familiar with the Jameis Winston from Tampa. You know, people watch Jameis, and he was inconsistent. Big arm, big numbers, big interception totals in 1 year. His interception percentage is not real good compared to other quarterbacks, but that was some time ago. And let's just see. You know, let's just see what this guy might be the rest of the way here. That's my only thought. Let's just see what he might be. And if he shows you some things going out the rest of this season, I think that changes a lot. And again, right now he's 30 years old. Quarterbacks are playing a long time in the NFL. Russell Wilson has said he wants to play until he's 40. Okay? Tom Brady went way past that. And Jameis right now is in good health and is 30 years old. So just keep that in mind. You know, though this team needs a quarterback moving forward, I think, Andy thinks, because we don't think Deshaun's the guy. The guy who started yesterday and looked pretty darn good is only 30 years old.
He's the next man up right now, and if he can live up to it, why not let him keep that job as long as he possibly can?
Mike's in Cleveland. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening.
I had the caller called in earlier, and he made some good points about Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston. And I'm definitely not trying to defend Deshaun Watson, but one thing that he said that I think needed to be clarified is that he said Deshaun Watson didn't do anything for the community, and that's not true. There's two things that I know he did off the top of my head was he invested in the
local
business.
Yeah, but South Taylor and Cedar. Yep.
Yeah, and he also bought Glenville High School there.
Their championship rings.
No, that's true, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because he deserves props. Really.
Yes, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, so, you know, that's all I want to say. If people really wanted to look into everything he did, you can Google it. But like I said, I'm not defending his play on the field because it's been horrible. We all know that. But let's not just, you know, pile on the guy and say he didn't do anything for the community because that's definitely not true.
Mike, thank you very much. And you're right. We should have done that. We did not.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yep. Apologize.
Yep.
At 1 o'clock, Tyvus Powell, our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, is going to join us. Tyvus was talking playoffs yesterday. Maybe he was caught up in the excitement of the win. Maybe he wasn't caught up in the excitement of the win. I'm not sure. We'll get Tyvus coming up at 1 o'clock. And then Kevin Stefanski's press conference, his first after a game where he didn't call plays on a Monday. Not right after the game, is coming up at 1:30, we think. So get ready for that. Kevin coming up right here on The Fan. Coming up at 1 o'clock, our buddy Tyvus Powell from the Browns Radio Network is going to join us. And then 1:30, we believe, fingers crossed, Kevin Stefanski's press conference, head coach of the Browns, of the 2-6 Cleveland Browns. The Chargers will be in town coming up this Sunday. We go from John Harbaugh to Jim Harbaugh. Yesterday they were wearing their powder blues, Andy, you know, the Charger blue uniform, best uniform in sports. I just love those lightning bolt down the pants. But anyhow,
did you like them when Kent State wore them?
They didn't wear the exact same thing, but
pretty close though. I remember back in the day they wore the same.
Well, they wore dark blue though.
No, I remember like maybe it was my year of Kent State. They had the lighter blue ones.
We were dark blue.
How many wins did you guys have? We had Glenn Mason. That's all I can say.
We were Russ Hederle and Eric Wilkerson.
Wilkerson was still there.
We had guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the Young. Patrick Young was the quarterback from Florida.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
He could play.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, you were in Beaumont by then.
Yeah,
you already had a real paying job by then. Me, I was still doing it for free.
There was one thing that happened yesterday in the Chargers game, though. And
Tony Stevens, man, that guy could play linebacker.
No, there was a sack on Justin Herbert, and Nathan Shepard of the Saints had him around the ankle and didn't let go, and was kind of twisting and rolling and everything else, and it was not good, and there are calls for him to be suspended. We'll see if anything comes of that. Justin Herbert, good young quarterback. I think he's really good. But it's interesting because the Chargers aren't throwing the ball a whole heck of a lot. Ladd McConkey had a big day for them yesterday at wide receiver, and it stunned everybody. And not because he's not a talented young guy. It's just Jim Harbaugh wants to run the football. So it'll be an interesting challenge for the Browns coming up on Sunday. And see if they can, you know, roll out two in a row. That'd be something. Jim's in Strongsville. Jim, welcome.
Jim, what's up?
Hello, boys. Listen, the biggest problem on this football team is Deshaun Watson. And let me go back to this. I've heard callers calling about the play calling, and this, everything the Browns have done has been to make Deshaun Watson comfortable. Everything. And so the biggest change that I've seen in the last three games-ish is the Browns, guess what they've done? They've gone more under center. And guess what? You could run the ball better under center. You could do play action under center. That is what, if I had to put one my finger on one thing, that's what they're doing. And Andy, I'll tell you this. I get where you're coming from. Bite your tongue. If this front office and this ownership or whoever tries to cart Deshaun Watson out there next year as a starting quarterback, you have already insulted your fans this year. You've already insulted that locker room this year. And I know what you're saying, the contract. First off, I don't think Andrew Berry's going to be around. I like Andrew Berry. Maybe they elevate him to president. But I don't think, you know, Dee Podesta's probably not going to be around.
They've already said Dee Podesta wasn't renewed.
Yeah. So, listen, I just don't think Jimmy wants to win. I don't see this guy. I get it. It's a lot of money, and I get all those other things. I mean, look, guys, there's nothing more insulting to a fan base than to stand up there, Deshaun gives us the best chance to win. No, he doesn't. And if you bring him out there, the national media is already killed. This is a situation where you do what Houston did. You pay Deshaun Watson and tell him to go away. Yep, we're going to keep paying you. You're going to be on our roster, but you just go away.
Jim, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to phrase it for you. What move would be more respected by the fan base? Rolling him out as the starter next year, or somehow, whichever way, however you want to do it, him not being the starter next year?
Him not being the starter next year tells me they're serious about winning.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Jim, that's the thing. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. And I hate to say that. I've been hoping and hoping and hoping that we see the Deshaun Watson that I was so impressed with when he was in Houston. Andy, I thought he was terrific. I wasn't crazy about him when he came out of Clemson. In fact, I remember watching tape of him when he was coming out of Clemson, and certainly he played well at Clemson. But I kept thinking, man, I don't want the quarterback, and I said that here. I said, I don't want the quarterback. I want the guy catching those passes. And that was Mike Williams, who I thought was tremendous at wide receiver. And then Deshaun proved me wrong when he got to Houston. He was really good, really good. And we have not seen that guy, but in very, very, very small doses here in Cleveland. Paul is in some part of Florida. What part, Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I'm in Naples. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I just touched on what the other guy said. I think very fundamentally, Stefanski's offense and Deshaun Watson are completely incompatible. When they traded for Watson, I called, I think it was Dustin's show 3 years ago, and said, listen, if Stefanski runs what he normally runs, the Kubiak offense, play action, all that, that's not what Watson's good at, so they're putting a square peg in a round hole. And if Stefanski sticks with what he knows, what's his DNA, it's not going to be good for Watson. He tried to do that to Baker, and that's when Baker kind of imploded because Baker's whole, you know, spread offense, run pass, they took that away from him and kind of hurt Baker. He's trying to force, his DNA is Kubiak, right? Play action, that's where he made his bones. It's not what Watson does, and it's not Watson's DNA. You take an average quarterback like Brissett, and he was okay, right, running Stefanski's stuff. You take an above-average quarterback like Flacco or Winston, and they thrive, right, or seem to thrive in Stefanski's
offense. Yeah.
His play, you know, the way he wants to run the offense. It's just incompatible with Watson. And so regardless of good or bad, I just don't think they'll ever – Stefanski's too stuck in his offense. Watson's too stuck in how he plays football. It's just not going to work. You need to find a young version of a Kirk Cousins. You need to find a young version of somebody that'll thrive in the play action. You know, what Stefanski is good at, because I do think it's a good offense.
Paul, how about a 30-year-old? Is that too old, too young?
He'd be a great bridge. I think he's a great bridge to find. There's got to be, you know, how many guys are out there that have that skill set, you know, the Kirk Cousins skill set, or, you know, a good Jameis Winston skill set, or a young Flacco. That's what they need to develop. And again, maybe you've got Winston is your bridge. That's the best they can hope for.
Paul, that's an interesting thought, and one I can't disagree with. The one thing I do disagree with slightly, I thought Kevin has done a nice, maybe I'm oblivious to this. I think he's done a nice job coaching the talent that he has for the most part here. You know, he likes to run the ball, and at times I wanted to see him run it more. And I thought he put Baker in good situations when he was here. I thought they tried to tailor some things to Deshaun this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think bringing Ken Dorsey in was part of that. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked. And I don't know that it will. Jeffrey is in Cleveland.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Well, I tell you, you said that you don't know. We don't know what we have with Jameis Winston. Well, we do know. We know that Jameis was part of the 30-30 club, right? Okay, now that reputation has stuck with him ever since he came into the NFL. But
it's been a while since that, Jeff. That's my only point here. Let's see what this guy can do as an older guy. My buddy Mark sent me an email, and he said maybe he's like Jim Plunkett. Maybe it took him a while to figure it out, and then he finally does.
For one, yeah.
There are other examples of that. You know, think of Rich Gannon. He did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can live with Jameis Winston because I know Jameis Winston can carve up a defense. He's going to carve up the Chargers. I know that. But the problem with Jameis, once he gets on that roll, it seems like he loses focus. And he thinks every throw he can make, that's when this coach should be stepping in and say, and calming Jameis down and say, hey, we don't need an interception right now.
Are you basing that on what you saw in Tampa, or are you basing that on what you saw yesterday?
What I saw yesterday.
Okay. I don't know that you can base it on that because I don't think he did that too often.
I do think that's something. No, Jeff, I think you're right in that aspect because I think that's what we're expecting. We expect him to be able to move the ball down the field with efficiency, but we also know that the way he plays, sometimes he might take a chance that other quarterbacks won't, and that's when he'll get intercepted. Right? I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah. The coach should step in and say, hey, Jameson, we don't need an interception now. You know, make him think, hey, you know, I can't throw the interception right now. You know, that make him think twice about taking any risks. But he did not do that. So we almost got another Jameson 31 interceptions. Okay. So, but I can live with Jameson. Go Browns.
All right, Jeffrey. Thank you very much. Jameson.
Famous Jameis.
Done.
We can do this. I have faith in us. Jameis.
I think every time somebody says Jameson, we should play some kind of like
the theme
Scottish
song from Simon and Simon.
No, some Scottish.
Jameson Parker.
No, I mean, like Jameson Scottish or Northern whiskey. Irish. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
Irish
what I can think. That's all I can think about.
I go to cheap detective shows. You guys go to booze.
Well, let me see.
Have we met? Do you know me?
I mean, I don't even drink, and I'm telling you that was the first thing I thought. Oh, Jameson.
I'm the guy who asked for a morphine drip on a few of these shows. You don't think I'm going that direction?
Can we get the Simon and Simon theme song?
No, we don't want that. We want like some Irish or some English song. Yes.
I want to vote up on the Twitter. Let us know.
Wait, no, we can't
afford
it.
Do you want some Irish drinking
anymore
song for Jameson?
Yes.
Or do you want Simon and Simon theme song whenever anybody calls him
Jeff,
Jameson?
Jeff, no one knows who Simon and Simon is without Schuster. Come on.
Well, some of us don't know what Jameson is.
Dan, break the tie.
A chunk of people don't know what Jameson is, but also, I mean, have you listened to some of the people who will call here every so often? I wonder if they know who Simon and Schuster is.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Twitter.
And Gerald McRaney was an underrated actor.
For all they know, Simon and Schuster is what they use to hold up the short leg on the couch.
Tyvis Powell.
Hang on.
Network.
I'm going to X right now. You can solve this problem for us. Thank you.
Are you going to put up a poll?
I'm not doing a poll because we don't.
Gallup.
No, we don't do those anymore. I'm just going to let them feedback.
I say I when somebody calls the poor guy Jameson, we play the Simon and Simon song because of Jameson Parker. Fine actor.
The question is, what is the first thing when you hear the word Jameson? Okay, is that fair?
Well, for me, it's not booze. For Baskin, it is, even though Andy doesn't drink much. And Menigan, well, Tyvus is coming up next.